Just relax yourself, develop the faith, the sadha, virya, then compose your mind. We will recite the puja chanting now. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Guanxing Bhusa. Namo Guanxing Bhusa. Namo Guanxing Bhusa. Namo Milafo. Namo Milafo. Namo Milafo. Namo Pusien Bhusa. Namo Pusien Bhusa. Namo Pusien Bhusa. Namo Pho Bhusa. Namo Pho Bhusa. Namo Pho Bhusa. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Sanghang Namami. Okay. You all can be seated, then we will start the puja chanting. You can thank Brother Tio. He can park inside. There is still a car park. If he's nearby, let us know. Then we open the gate for her. Yeah. Oh, then you drive in. No, no, you drive in. No, no, ask him to park at the gate. Then you drive yours in. Okay, like that easier. Because yours should be able to come in. Otherwise, we wait for Brother Tio also can. No problem. Okay, we wait for Brother Tio. Where his car smaller, can go in. Yours is a four-wheel drive. Okay, turn to page 1. We will commence the puja chanting. After the salutation, now we will chant the Vandana. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Adina Dana Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Musawada Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. สุรามิรายามัจจปะมาดัทานะเวรามณีสิกขาปะดังสมาธิยามินาวิวชันติปฏิภาปุจจ offering of likes กันนะสารปฏิเทนะดิเปนะตามาดังสีนะตีโลกาดิปังสัมบุตังปุจายามิตามโนดังดันดาสัมบรายุเทนะดุเพนะหังสุกังหินะปุจายะปุจานิยังตังปุจาบาจานามุตตมังวันนากันดากุโนเปตังเอตังกุสุมาสันทตินปุจายามิโมนินดาสสิริปาดาสารโรเหปุจเจมิบุตังกุสุเมนะเนนะปุณเณนะมะเตนะเชโหตุโมคังปุปังมิลายะติยะตาอิดังเมกายโยตัตตายะติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปันนิยังปริกาปิตังอานุคัมปังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปาเลปริกาปิตังอานุคัมปังอุปาดายะปาติกังหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตโบจานังปริกาปิตังอานุคัมปังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาตุโมตมัง Okay, now we will make the aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this offering. Significance of offering of light, candlelight. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offerings of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing our merits and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now we pay respect to Tripa Japa. Bendang Pujayami. Damang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay. Now you all can be seated. Relax yourself. Then maintain some form of attention. Then we can start our meditation. I will off the light. Then you all can start your meditation. Those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away commence. Then for those who are new, one or two of you who need instruction, I will give you some very simple instruction to train your mind. Okay. Where do you park? Oh, okay. Otherwise, we have a car park for you. Okay. Come. Yeah. You join us. We just about to start meditation. Okay. Relax body and mind. Maintain some form of attention. Then make sure you have a stable posture. You can sit cross-legged on the cushion. You are most welcome to do it because that posture is very conducive. But if you have problem because you are not used to this style of cross-legged sitting, you can actually sit on a chair or a cushion or a stool. Then just relax body and mind. Make sure it is stable, the posture. Then you can just train your mind accordingly. To train this mind is very simple. I will teach you a skillful means called mind sweeping method that will allow you to train your mind not to think, so that it is just relaxed and aware. You make sure your backbone is straight, body and mind relax, completely relax. Then silence everything and just maintain attention on your forehead. We call this the mind sweeping method. From the mind, which is usually at the forehead, you just silence everything and just feel your forehead. Don't think, just feel. You can detect any tension, any tightness or any stress within, then you just silently just relax, relax and relax every part of your forehead muscle. Feel it soothingly relax. Then you move your attention down to your eye muscle. Do the same. Relax every part of your eye muscle. Feel it soothingly relax. Then you move your attention down to your facial muscle. Do the same. Just feel. Then relax them all. Each and every strand of your facial muscle. Then in order to help you relax easier, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can do that, means you have joy, you have happiness. Otherwise, you cannot radiate a radiant smile. The moment you have joy and happiness, you can radiate the radiant smile. Your facial muscle will relax on its own. Then you can start to radiate well-being and happiness to yourself. It is a form of loving-kindness meditation. Mind-sweeping method will make your mind peaceful and calm, quiet, leading to inner peace. Then this loving-kindness will radiate good mind state to give rise to well-being within your own body and mind. You can recite following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel it as you recite. As you recite, may I, this body and mind, you feel your body and mind. Be well and happy. You must feel the well-being and happiness within your own mind, within each and every cells within your body. Your entire being, you must feel the well-being and the happiness. Then you can repeat, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, may it too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May its mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you can send this same metta to your loved ones. May all my loved ones too be well and happy. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they always keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can radiate the same metta to all beings. May all beings within this vicinity of SS2, known and unknown, seen and unseen, and all Kayanamitas, Dhamma friend, co-meditator and cultivator, may they all too be well, happy and peaceful always. May they all too be free from all form of suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they always keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we extend this metta to all beings within the whole of Putrajaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, our solar system, our galaxy, our Milky Way, and all beings throughout the entire existence, the whole universe. May they all too be well, happy and peaceful always, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they all too be free from all form of suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. May they always maintain peace and happiness. May no harm come to them. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you can come back to your facial muscle. Feel. Don't think, just feel. You can detect any tension, any tightness or any stress within. Just soothingly relax them all. Feel them soothingly relax with a lot of joy and happiness within your mind state. Then wish yourself well-being and happiness. May I, this body and mind of mine too, be well and happy. Then you radiate this metta to all beings throughout the entire existence like you did earlier on. Then you come back to your facial muscle, move your attention now to your neck, feel, relax, shoulder, feel, relax, hand, do the same, feel, relax, back to shoulder, feel, relax. Then you move your attention to your heart area or your chest area. This is the most vital part of your body. This is where your heartbeat arises and passes away. This is where your life force arises and passes away. This is also the seat of consciousness, how you become conscious from moment to moment, how your life force pumps your heart and triggers off the pumping of the heartbeat. So the pulse of life starts there. So you just silence your mind completely as you feel your heart area, just silent. You can detect any vibration or your heartbeat, you just silence everything and stay there. But if you are new, initially you are not sensitive, it's okay. You don't have to have the ability. You just feel your chest area, like you feel your forehead. If there is any tension, tightness or stress within, you just relax them all. Feel it soothingly, relax, relax and relax. Completely relax. Then you move your attention down to your stomach. Feel, relax. Then abdomen, feel, relax. Then your leg, feel, relax. Then buttock, do the same, feel, relax. Then you can reverse the whole of this mind sweeping method from the buttock up. Feel, relax. Leg, feel, relax. Then your abdomen, feel, relax. Then your stomach, feel, relax. Then back to your heart area. Again, feel, relax. Then you move it up to your hand, your shoulder. Feel, relax. Neck, feel, relax. Then facial muscle, just feel and relax. Feel them all soothingly. Relax, relax, relax. Then eye muscle, feel and relax. Then your forehead. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful because of your mind sweeping method. You learn to train your mind to be at the location you want it to be. You want it to be at the forehead, it will be there. Then you want it to be at your heart area, it will be there. Then you learn to relax and don't think. You just feel relaxed. Without thought, you become very peaceful. You calm down very fast. So this is the meditative mind that you try to train. It will help you to decondition your heedless thinking, the wandering thought, the heedless thinking born of mental hindrance. So when this arises, it's more conducive for you to develop the meditation. Then now I will help you with another skillful means to stabilize this peaceful mind or silent mind that you have developed. The Buddha called it anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. So you just silence everything and feel your breathing, like you feel your forehead. Now you feel your breathing in front of your nostril. Silence everything and just feel. Then you can detect your breathing. Then like the Buddha said, breathing in, you are away. Breathing out, you are away. As you train, initially, if you are not skillful, you are not used to it, the mind wanders off very fast. But don't worry. Maintain patience. Allow this mind to do what it has been trained to do. Initially, it is this way because you have not trained. The untrained mind think a lot, wander off very fast. So split second, you are lost in thought. Then you have to patiently bring it back to maintain attention in front of your nostril. Yeah. If you are patient enough, after 5-10 minutes, you should be able to stabilize it. And then when you can stabilize it, your mind becomes very different. It becomes anchored to this breathing. Then like the Buddha said, breathing in, away, breathing out, away. So this is called anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is mindfulness of this in and out breath. If you continue to train and maintain this mindfulness, your mind will become very quiet and very peaceful. Because when you are mindful, it's just aware without thought. That's why you become peaceful. So you continue to train, allow your mind to do it. For those who already have developed the training, this anapanasati will stabilize. Then you will experience a type of peace called piti. Piti is a type of spiritual calmness or spiritual joy that arises when you are able to develop this silent mind in mindfulness. It can be mindfulness of your breathing or any object of meditation that you are familiar with. But anapanasati is the most conducive and most suitable for most people with whatever personality. It's a very neutral object of meditation and it's always with you. You can maintain awareness or mindfulness of this in and out breath. You become very calm and very peaceful. Then after that, you relax into every state that arises. Then as you relax and develop mindfulness, this mindfulness becomes more and more stable. Then it will accumulate into sukha. Sukha is a spiritual bliss, more peaceful and more calm than piti. It's a more refined calmness. Then as you relax further and allow it to be, even this sukha will transform into pasati. Pasati is tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind without thought. It's very quiet, very still, and very peaceful. So our objective is to train the mind until it hits pasati. Then technically, after that, your mind is already in sati. So you just silent everything and stabilize it, allow it to be. No need to hold on to anything. When the mind is in sati, it will be silent and peaceful on its own. And that mind is the meditative mind that can understand many things. Then use it to meditate. Use it to understand clearly the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught us. You will see them all arising and passing away within your own form and mind. You will see the Four Noble Truths. You will see the five mental hindrances. You will also see the five spiritual faculties. Then you will also see the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then you can also see your spiritual faculty, the five spiritual faculty. Then later on, as you become more skillful, even the factors of enlightenment, they will all arise. Then you will witness how you function as a human being, how your thought arise, how upon contact, consciousness and its content come to be. Then how through your wrong view, your conditioning, your belief system, you stir your mind and you get your mind in anger. That's how craving comes to be. Then it will condition you into negativity. So all this is meditation, develop wisdom to understand clearly who you are, what you are, and what are thought all about. Thought is essentially the five aggregate of our form and mind, the mental five aggregate. So silence your mind to see the characteristics of impermanence leading to suffering and the non-self or empty nature. So all this is what you're supposed to do as you train your mind to develop this meditation. Then after you are skillful, you just silent and relax and stay peaceful, calm and aware within. The awareness must be there. Then you relax into it and allow the mind to be. Okay, I'll let you meditate on your own. Then I will ring the bell after about 10 minutes. those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay, now turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. I will read to you the English translation. Invocation to the devas. In this universe in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Ittipeso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijacarana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavato Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi pasiko opanaiko pacatang veditadbo vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato savakasango ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasango Yaya patipanno bhagavato savakasango Samichi patipanno bhagavato savakasango Yadidang chattari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savakasango Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakeneyo Anjali karaneyo Anutarang punyaketang lokasati Sadhu Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Bhutang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you all can be seated. Tonight we will continue from where we stopped, the Diamond Sutta. We are at page 67. Yes, chapter 8. Okay, I get my spike. Turn to page 1, where we will recite the opening verse. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, turn to page 67. So before we start off with Xuan Hua's commentary, I will read to you the other version. Chapter 8. Let me ask you, Subhati, if a person feel over 10,000 galaxies with the seven treasures for the purpose of compassion, charity, and giving of alms, would this person not gain great merits and spread much happiness? Yes, most honored one, answered Subhati. This person would have gained great merits and spread much happiness, even though in truth this person does not have a separate existence to which merits could accrue. Why? Because this person's merit is characterized with the quality of not being merits. The Buddha continued, then suppose another person who understood only four lines of this sutta, which is the Diamond Sutta, but nevertheless took it upon themselves to explain these four lines to someone else. This person's merits would be even greater than the other person's. Why? Because all Buddhas and all the teachings and values of the highest, most fulfilled, most awakened mind arise from this teaching in this sutta. And yet, even as I speak, Subhati, I must take back my word as soon as they are uttered, for there was no Buddha and there was no teaching. So this is the very abstract nature of chapter 8. Then we will go through Xuan Hua's version. Then we will compare. Xuan Hua's version is, Subhati, what do you think? If someone were to feel the 3,000 great, to feel the 3,000 great thousand world system. Wow. How come this cry until so complicated? Here he said 10,000 galaxy, Never mind. I cannot understand his English. Feel 3,000 great thousand world system. Means 3,000 of 3,000. Of 1,000. What is the Chinese word? San qian da qian si jie. Oh, direct translation. Okay. If the seven, now my at least we know it's a lot of galaxy, yeah? 3,000, 大千 is great thousand, huh? Oh, no wonder. 三千, 大千, huh? Means 3,000 times 1,000, huh? Means 3 million, huh? Galaxies of our system. With the seven precious gem or treasures in this universe and give them as a gift, would he obtain much blessings and virtue? Subhati answer, sure. But the English word is very many. Direct translation, 很多, so, very many. Very many. 很多. So this one you cannot blame them, because Chinese educator, you know, they look up dictionary. Then 很 is very, 多 is many, very many. Means much merits. Well, honored one, he said. And why such blessing and virtue are not the nature of blessing and virtue? Therefore, the Tathagata speaks of many blessings and virtue. So this is how Subhati answer. But then the comparison is very important. According to Sakyamuni Buddha, he said, if, on the other hand, a person or a cultivator were to receive and the English is very, very, very bad and hold from this sutta even so few as four lines of verse and speak them for others, his blessing would surpass the previous one. And why? Subhati, because all Buddhas and all Buddha Dhamma, because all Buddhas and all Buddhas Dhamma of Anuttara Samyat Sambohi come forth from this sutta. Subhati, therefore the Buddha Dhamma spoken are no Buddha Dhamma. Actually the English is not good. That's why like Pamasuri said, direct translation. I tell you, Mandarin, direct translation, it become crazy. That's why our Chinese dialect also, you translate to English direct, like break no eat, Amolang cannot understand. The Westerner himself don't understand what you say, because we translate direct break bo jia. To us it's not efficient, means the break is not efficient. But he said bo jia means no grip, understand? So he translate direct, break no eat. Then you totally confused. I think this is what is happening to Shenhua's translation. But don't worry, I think basically the meaning is, if someone to make offering of the seven treasure in this universe, so it was mentioned that this treasure are very special treasures. I forgot where already it was mentioned. It is, I think, one family's, they have kept this treasure for very long. So he said, if you were to offer all this to the 10,000 galaxies, world system, to all the beings or whatever, wouldn't these merits be very great and wonderful? So, but he said, definitely very great and wonderful. But the Buddha said, in comparison, is it, this type of merits is nowhere compared to somebody who has understood this Diamond Sutta. Just four lines, four stanzas, then able to share this with someone, the feel of merits that arise from this sharing is much, much greater than what this person has performed. So this is a very important understanding. That's why Diamond Sutta is not what you think. Like the Buddha said, if you want to become Sammasambuddha, the Bodhisattva must cultivate this Diamond Sutta. Means you must cultivate until you truly penetrate the Buddha Dhamma to understand that there is no mark when you go through the cultivation. If you still hold on to the mark that there is a person who strive, who cultivate, who meditate to become a Sammasambuddha, the merits that you receive through that type of self-delusion is limited. Then the other thing also, if you think there are living beings to be saved, the mark of living beings, your cultivation also will be limited. Then the other thing is also, any mark of any Dhamma that you hold on to or truth that you believe can help you to become enlightened, if you hold on to and cling on to them, believing that they are important, that is also a mark. So wherever there is any mark, that cultivation is limited. That's why you must cultivate with that profound wisdom born of cultivating the understanding that the Buddha has shared under the Diamond Sutta. So this is a very unique teaching. So that's why this Diamond Sutta is very profound. But the moment you have this understanding, your cultivation becomes very different. So now we can compare to the four basic vow of the Bodhisattva. Then you will come to realize a very important understanding. The four basic vow teach you to do away with all the mark. The mark of self, the mark of living being, and the mark of Dhamma. Because the first basic vow is you vow to come and liberate beings, to take all living beings across to the other shore. Means there is no mark of a person cultivating. You come for the living being. Means that for my mind, he understands it's not him, but karmically conditioned out for him to do this work, to undertake the fulfillment of this great vow. Then as he cultivates, he will come to realize that they are all conditioned arising entity. He know you, he know me. So there is no mark of any being that can be saved. But within the existential world, there is such thing as a human being. There is such thing as a form and mind, that segmented life that you come with. Then there is such thing as living being experiencing karma, following the nature's law of karma. Then their mind function following the dependent origination or dwelling. Then there is such thing as Dhamma within the existential world, the conditional. And they will understand all this. That's why they will cultivate accordingly. When they are within the existential world with the form and mind, they know what these things are. And they will cultivate accordingly, but they are not deluded. The ultimate wisdom understanding of no mark of a self cultivating, no mark of any living being, and no mark of any Dhamma. That's why they cannot cling, they cannot hold. That's why they cultivate renunciation. So the second vow, to endure and severe all suffering or the section, is to cultivate renunciation. Because according to the Buddha, the final summary of the First Noble Truth, he said, in short, all of suffering arise because of your self-delusion that condition you to have craving, to cling, to grasp at the fine aggregate of form and mind. That's why he said, the upadana khandas are dukkha. So upadana khandas means what? Your mind, the five mental aggregate of form and mind, and your first aspect, five aggregate of the physical body and mind, they are all impermanent because they are dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomenon. They go the way of nature, following nature's law. If you want things your way, suffering will arise. That's why they are universal characteristic. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity where you can hold on to, cling on to and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, this entity can own things. These are all mine. There is no such thing. So because of that understanding, the Bodhisattva that cultivate will have clear understanding that all these phenomena were created by mind. They are not real. That's why everything that you come to experience through your senses, what you see, what you can hear, perceive through your senses, even smell, taste, tactile and consciousness, they are all not real, illusionary. That's why all the teaching point towards the characteristics of nature, their universal characteristics. Then when you already have that understanding, you will cultivate with understanding. That's why you calm, you are not deluded by all this. You know how to make use of all this, because you have the ultimate truth, understanding. Just like Heart Sutta said, in true emptiness, you have penetrated true emptiness. So you understand that this one is not yours, but it's a vehicle and tool for you to come connected to your nature, to arise the causes and conditions for you to do your work, to live life, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life, and to cultivate and perfect your whatever perfection that you need to do. So all this understanding will be there. That's why when you cultivate according to Diamond Sutta understanding, you become very different. Then the third vow, of course, is first one is love and compassion, no mark of a self. Second one is no mark of living being, but to cultivate renunciation. When you can overcome all suffering, endure and severe all suffering, means you are not deluded by it. You got no more craving, you got no more attachment. That's why you can cultivate renunciation. You can renounce everything in this universe. Nothing can deceive you or delude you anymore. You will not give more any more meaning. You will not cling on to anything. Everything is just the way it is. True suchness. Ta-ta-ta. He know you, he know me. Even this form of mind is not you. You cannot take along. Then wherein son, wherein wealth and possession, all this, only the fools lament. So all this understanding will be there. That's why you can actually comfort to do this work with a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, a lot of understanding. And the form of mind that calms every life is so beautiful, so meaningful. It can get connected very fast. But you must know the nature's law that governs all this. Then you must know how to make aspiration, adhittana, vow and all those things, so that all this can be fulfilled. And you must develop the parami, the virtue, the merits, for causes and conditions for you to come and do all this work. Because without all those merits, virtue, wisdom and parami, you cannot do this work. That's why the three basic vow plus the fourth one, which is the full perfection, completes the whole training. And when you can do that, you will realize Samma Sambuddhahood, to consume it, to become a Samma Sambuddha, means you would have fulfilled and perfected all of the 10 perfection. That's why you realize Supreme Buddhahood, Anuttara Samyat Sambohi. So this is what the teaching is all about. So now we go into the commentary. In this section, it is stated that all Buddhas and all Bodhisattvas are bought from this sutta. Means this sutta is so unique is because of the reason the Buddha have explained. All Samma Sambuddha, before they become Samma Sambuddha, they have to cultivate following this sutta. That's why this sutta is very powerful. Even four stanzas, you can understand and penetrate them and share. The field of merits is immeasurable. The seven treasure, even if you repeatedly offer to the 10,000 world system, is still the merit is still without comparison to a person who only have to understand four stanzas of this sutta and teach. That's why all these beings, when they perfect their virtue, their wholesomeness, they only need to go through this cultivation, then they have actually limitless virtue and all this. This is how you can fulfill your 10 perfection. Then as you liberate living beings without the mark of a self and living being, your cultivation again become very different. Then no mark of any Dhamma. Everything is just the way it is. Suchness, ta-ta-ta. That form and mind just do what it has to do. The nature connected with the understanding, the awakening that arise during that segmented life duration. So now it brings me to the condition to explain this to you. Last night we had this very beautiful sharing about the my second last teacher, which talks mainly about the Bodhisattva way, the cultivation. And the recording today, I listened to it when I was in the office, was very clear. How many of you have re-listened? Nobody. Oh, one, two. You must listen to it again, I tell you, it's very different. Because it was so clear, you're silent and you just listen. It's so profound, so beautiful. Then, what is important is, the reason why this cultivation is so difficult is because you just imagine every life you come. Let's say you have the understanding, then you are able to connect. But not until you connect, you will not inherit what you have cultivated. Then after you connect, you inherit. By the time you are ready to continue, most of the time you are already quite old. You will be quite old by then. Even myself, this nature of mine, this segmented life that I came, I connected very early, at the age of 35, 1989, just like Sakyamuni. But then, even with that, and my vow brought me my last teacher, and my second last teacher accelerated my transformation. Even with that, by the time I have all this understanding, I already near to 60 that time, I remember. Then after that, this nature have to make sure the form and mind didn't get destroyed, understand? Well, this is very fragile, very vulnerable. That's why you must invoke the power of merits and request to Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, her nature, to protect, bless, and guide this form and mind. Well, this is very fragile and very, very vulnerable. So, with all these conditions set, then only it can come. Then when it comes, how long can you cultivate? You ask yourself. Maybe this one very lucky, another 20, 30 years. But I don't think 30. 20 already 82. Old enough. No need to stay so long. So all this is the understanding. Because if you don't connect, the understanding not there, you are wasting your time. Whatever you do, most of the time is thought-based meditation. Cannot compare to this type of cultivation. That's why you need to connect and develop the understanding of the Dhamma. You must penetrate them. That's why the four basic vow is very important. Then after that, with this understanding, you progress very fast. You become very different. That's why the path of the Buddha, the Bodhisattva, they are very different. But to establish yourself on the path, you need to cultivate sincerely with the faith, with the what they call sincerity and diligence or perseverance. The understanding is one thing. The what they call the causes and conditions that you have planted, the affinity that you have planted with all these great beings and Bodhisattva and Buddhas are very, very important, equally important. So you have to combine the cultivation. Because without all this aspiration, vows, affinity, condition, it's not easy to go this way. It can take very long. But if you have the understanding that you can invoke all this condition, affinity, and sincerity and faith, then you can diligently or sincerely cultivate and persevere, then the way will be there. It become like fairly easy. Yeah. But what I try to share with you now is this form of mind, actually for it to have such condition, is very difficult. Very, very difficult. But every time you take bhava, most of the time is delusion, payback karma, then someone got coming obstruction. You can follow, no? Yeah. Then a lot of wrong view. Then all this is going to actually cause you to be in samsara for very, very long. Then let's say after certain period of maybe striving and cultivation, then you develop more favorable condition to meet up with the right one who can tell you how to overcome all this karmic obstruction. Then you have to start life after life, to have this right understanding, so that in future when you come, you will work on it all the way up. You will not be like previously, once in a blue moon lucky, go this way, after that lost for very long again, then don't know go where. Then after a big round, come back, hit one jackpot again, walk for a while, then again lost. If you do it this way, it's not effective. It's going to take you very, very long. But the moment you hit the jackpot, what you must do is you must determine, like what I taught you all that day, taking of the vow and aspiration, you determine that this is the understanding you must have life after life when you come, so that you can connect early, so that you can develop this cultivation early. So that you can come back to the same understanding to continue with the perfection and the cultivation. So all these are very useful and very instrumental. That's why this Diamond Sutta is the reason for all this understanding. If you really this life got the condition and cultivate this understanding, your field of merits is immeasurable. Then you can really fulfill it. It may be over the next million year or what. You already very good, very, very, your nature, your being already very special. So this is the reason why there is such condition for this Diamond Sutta to be shared and expounded. So you all should thank Hui Rong. She requested for it. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Actually, we should ask her after, sir, why she requests for this sutta. Why is someone who suggest this sutta? Pass the mic to her. You have some more special reason. Pray Sangsi, pray Sangsi.
我很喜欢看有的没有的书，那我在去年的时候我看了一本蒋勋，蒋勋是一个台湾的作家，他在讲 Diamond Sutra， 他是一个应该是算美术，就是美术方面的，可是他对Buddhism 他有一定的，因为他画很多的观音，然后他写了一本他其实不是从头到尾都跟 Diamond Sutra 有关，可是我看了我很
touch by it，
然后
很
其实我不很明白，可是我在我心里我就很希望我也能够明白，然后我也不知道就那我记得很清楚，那一天其实是 Permaisuri他有不知道提到 Diamond Sutra 什么
啊？对
对
对,
对。然后就我 recall 我的那一个 memory， 然后我也没有想很多，
你就 regret，
我就
sad。So 现在 at least we all understand how the condition come about means it's meant to be， meant to be. Otherwise, it cannot be such a coincidence.And normally, this type of sutta is very, very difficult to comprehend. Not to say get somebody to share with you. And nobody so far have actually requested for this sutta before you. They always ask me to share the heart sutta, Surangama sutta. Then all the other, what they call Theravada sutta. But this diamond sutta,you are the first. Because this one, actually nobody, very few people understand. Yeah, when you mention about that, to tell you the truth, I haven't really read the Diamond Sutta when you requested. I haven't read the Diamond Sutta. I don't really know what the Diamond Sutta is. But deep inside, my nature know, I can understand on, and I canexplain to you all this. Then when I started to look at the Diamond Sutta, I realized, hey, there is no teaching inside there. Well, I explained to you already that there is no Dhamma inside there. Well, no. It only tell you how to cultivate. No. You must cultivate without mark. No mark of a self, no mark of living being, no mark of Dhamma. But he didn't teach you any Dhamma.You realize now, every chapter we go through, there is no Dhamma taught to you. But I have to explain. Because what is expound is how to cultivate. But the cultivation part is not explained. It just tells you, if you cultivate thought-based meditation, which they didn't use that word, means you cultivate with a mark of a self. That's why I say, if you follow the traditional Theravada way, they say Bodhisattva way too long, remember? They decide to stop, not continue. Then they strive and determine this life they must become enlightened, or at least Sotabana shape, or Sakadagami, or Anagami, and if possible, Arahant straight away, then they don't want to come. So when you have this type of thought,means there is a mark of a self cultivating. This self feel that way is too long. That's why I want to renounce the Bodhisattva way. I want to take the Arahant way. Oh, you got this way, that way. Like last night I shared with you, Anuruddha, she got caught where my divine eye already so perfect. I can see the 10,000 world system like,the mango in front of my palm, then my mindfulness is so perfect. My everything is so perfect, but the question is, but defilement not rooted out. This is what the Buddha meant by monk. When there is a monk to say, my divine eye, my mindfulness, I am still not there yet. All these are the thoughts.The egoic mind. These are Sakkaya Ditthi, self delusion in different form, coming through many ways. Even monks like them, they are also trapped because they realize they cannot penetrate, despite all the psychic and everything. That's why the Buddha also knew early on when he was under Alara Udaka.He knew he has perfected and understood even beyond their teachers, his teachers, Alara and Udaka. But he's still not happy because he knew that doesn't bring about enlightenment. What he seeks is transcend birth and death, transcending old age, sickness and death. Birth, old age, sickness and death. But these were the four signs he saw. He saw aold man, a sick man, and a dead man. Then of course the last one is a samana, the holy spiritual cultivator. Then he realized, if this is the reality of birth, then he has a problem. Well, all of the good life that he received through his father, who built him the 3-4 type of palace for the 4 seasons, then he only see young people. No, he is not allowed to see old people, sick people, or dead people, because the wise one told the father, the king, if your son see any of the 4 signs, he will go for renounce and become a monk, and become a universal monarch one day. So the father kept all this away from him. But one day he managed to talk to the attendant. He said, I want to see what is outside the palace, the kingdom. So when he went out, he got a shock of his life. What is outside is so different from what was actually kept away from him. That's why when he went out, he saw all this. Then he asked the attendant, how come this person is so miserable, so fragile, so weak, and so sick? And then the attendant said, this is an old man. What do you mean by an old man? He said, everybody, if you live long enough, you will become like that old. You mean one day I will also become like him? So weak, so fragile, so sick, and so old, and so useless, because the senses all fail already, and so immobile. The attendant says, yes, if you live long enough. Well, he straight away knew he has a problem with regards to getting old. Then when he saw the sick person, he asked again. He said, how come this person is in pain with so much sickness and suffering? Then the attendant explained, he said, when the condition is such that you are not careful with the way you eat your food and you live your life, or sometimes because certain disease can actually arise, then you can become afflicted, disease, become very, very sick and suffer a lot, very traumatic and miserable. Then the Buddha said, you mean one day this body of mine also will become like that? That tendency, yes. That's why he got another very severe type of awakening, is it? That means I got big problem. I not only will grow old, I will become so sick and so miserable, so afflicted by disease and sickness. Then when he saw the dead man, no life, no breathing, nothing, then decaying and rotting, he asked the attendant, how come this person is like that? Or he said, he's already dead. They throw him to the channel ground. Then he cannot understand, what you mean by dead? All of us, one day we will die, he tell the Buddha to be. Then that time Sakyamuni Gautama, he said, if that is the case, I have a problem. That's why he decided to renounce the world. So what he wants to overcome is always sickness and death. But all the jhana, the psychic that he developed, that can make him very powerful, doesn't solve his problem. Well, sooner or later, he still need to go through all this, confront all this. And he cannot escape. He got no answer. That's why he knew that is not the way out. And he continued to strive on his own. That's why finally he realized the middle path. And he developed the condition to actually cultivate accordingly and realize what he has cultivated before in the past. Then all this connect back. That's why he decided to eat, because he recalled the young day when he was a child during the harvesting festival. He was well fed. He was very happy, very peaceful, and the mind very simple. That mind only entered first jhana, which is upachara samadhi. Then he remembered that one. That's why he meditate until that level. He don't want to go beyond that. Then from there, he relaxed, silent. Then a lot of things happened. Because he realized that time he was young, he was well fed. So he ate the milk rice offered by Sujata. And that was a condition for him to actually connect back. Then he can feel the sign. That's why after that he make an aspiration, is it? If it's meant to be that I will be a Sammasambuddha as predicted by the wise one, show me a sign. after he finished the milk riser, he's supposed to wash that, you call it a bowl or whatever. Then he threw it into the river. And the sign came, that bowl, instead of flowing downstream, go against the current, move upstream. Then he knew there was joy. Then he made the determination and affirmation. He said, not until I realize full enlightenment, I will not arise from this seat that I'm going to sit in underneath the Bodhi tree. Not even until my sinus, I say, all the veins, blood vessel, everything dry out, he will not arise from that seat unless he become a Samasambuddha. And he make that very strong affirmation. And then he meditated. Then he became the Samasambuddha after that. Supposed to be on the holy day of Vesak. That was the same day he was born. He became enlightened and he passed away. That's why it's a triple occasion. Vesak symbolized the triple occasion. The Buddha's birth, his enlightenment and his parinibbana. So this is the reason why the Buddha is very unique. Okay, now we go into the commentary. Page 67. In this section, it is said that all Buddhas and all Bodhisattvas are brought forth from this sutta. So this one I have explained. Then the next one is, every world system contains, this is according to the scripture, one Mount Sumeru. Not our clan Sumeru. That one is same name. Sumeru. One set of the four great continents, namely Jambuvapi to the south, Purva Vidada to the east, Apara Godaniya to the west, and Uttara Kuru to the north. One sun and one moon. This one, I don't know whether it's really in the sutta or what, I also not sure. But if they quote it, I believe it was passed down, transmitted down. But through science, you will know certain world system, more than one sun, more than one moon. Understand? You look at our planet, you know, Jupiter got how many moon? A lot of moon. Then you can say Jupiter no life, no human being. How you know? Then there are a lot of world system with more than one sun. But it seems in the Tipitaka it's mentioned that there are more than one sun and all this. But these are not important to me. I think it's just the way the teaching is being set up. What is more important is the wisdom part, the understanding part. Then they say 1,000 of such world system is called one small 1,000 world system. Then 1,000 small world system is called one middle 1,000 world system. And now you get a better understanding of what is a great 1,000. Then 1,000 middle 1,000 world system is called one great 1,000 world system. No wonder it's a lot of galaxy. A lot of galaxy. You know what is a galaxy? Galaxy is like our galaxy. We call it the Milky Way. You know how many stars and how many suns are inside there? Actually, the suns are the stars. Countless, billions and billions and billions. And this is just one of the galaxy, Milky Way. And between galaxy, the space is very, very wide. Then sometimes galaxy and galaxy collide. Those who are science students, they know. When galaxy collide, they can actually form many combinations. Then sometimes black hole, when the star die, collapse, they call it the supernova. You know what is a supernova? The last burst of energy before the star die. We call it die because it become a dead star. all this online call it a neutron star, means it developed into a black hole. All of the masses suddenly shrink until it is so dense. When it's so dense, the escape velocity goes beyond the speed of light. Means light also cannot escape. You know, light got certain speed in there. What is the speed of light? 186,000 miles per second. 1 second can travel so fast, though. 186,000 miles. That's why the moment the sun rises from so far, you can immediately see where it travels so fast. Even you travel at the speed of light, according to science, let's say that world system is 1 light year away, it takes the speed of light to travel 1 year to reach that place, and there is only 1 light year. And now they have managed to use the Hubble telescope to actually confirm that the furthest they can see is 15 billion light years. You know why it's 15 billion light years or not? You travel at the speed of light, it takes 15 billion years to reach there. So you make one phone call, you wait for 15 billion years for it to reach that. So even you travel at the speed of light, then for him to say hello and return call, another 15 billion years. That's why the speed of light you think is very fast compared to the universe is still very slow. That's why recently Stephen Hawking, they come up with a spaceship as small as a stamp. And that one, they have the technology to fly at the speed of 20% the speed of light. And that is so far the fastest known spaceship, but size of a stamp. Means they go into what they call like quantum physics. All the micro and sub-micro. And even this one, to travel from here to the nearest star, means the nearest galaxy, they call it what? What's the name of the galaxy? The nearest one. I think it's, how many light years? Supposed to be, I forgot how many light years. I think it's less than 100 light years. Sorry, maybe 10 light years. 10 light years. If it's 10 light years, you travel at the speed of light, you 10 years to reach it there. That's why he said traveling at the speed of 20% of the speed of light will take about, I don't know how many years. Maybe 10 to 20 years, they say. You will know whether there is life there or not. And this Russian millionaire or billionaire willing to invest in his project $900 million. He just donated the money and asked them to go ahead. So all these are things that you cannot understand now. But for us, if we are in the spiritual field, we will know there is another entity that travels faster than the speed of light. Consciousness. That's why Samasambuddha is different. Within a speck of dust, the whole universe is there. Because they talk about the singularity. Because creation starts from the singularity. They call it the source. From the source, everything begins. So you can go back to the singularity, even the scientists know. Then they can read the mind of God. Means they can have all the understanding. Because from that singularity, it expanded. That's why they call it the expanding universe. Everything comes. So everything will go back to that singularity. We call it the source of all things. Means the oneness nature. So scientists cannot penetrate only one thing, consciousness, because they never meditate. or they cannot meditate until they understand the consciousness. That's why there is one missing link. They couldn't actually develop the unified theory. They have all the other forces work out, most of them. The gravity force, gravitational force, electromagnetic, electricity, and they also have those what they call quantum physics, on the very small forces that exhibit in the atom, neutrons and all those things. Then they can accelerate particle using particle accelerator to near the speed of light. Then they realize their half-life become longer. That's why they know you can travel at the speed of light. You don't get old. Because it's pure energy. You cannot get old. You will remain the same. But very difficult, because our structure cannot take that speed. That's why Stephen Hawking said later on, human race will evolve to become finally consciousness only. Then you can travel at that speed. Then consciousness never get old and never die. And the consciousness within the moment, split second, can be anywhere in the universe. Even how many billion light years or what, is there already. Then within that silence, that stillness, it can know the whole thing because it's oneness with all. That's why all this is beyond most living beings. Unless you really cultivate to that understanding. Okay, we go on. Then Sena say, because system is referred to as the 3,000 great thousand world system, this gigantic world system consists of limitless Buddha land. And in spite of its name, the number of worlds it contains may vary, because phenomena are flexible, not fixed. One should not become too attached to an exact number. So he also understand. The person who gives the seven precious gem or gold, silver, these are the seven things. Lapis, lazuli, crystal, or mother of pearl, red pearl, and carnelia, does not just give a few of them. He relinquishes enough to fill an entire 3,000 great thousand world system. How many of that would be? That's why you must know. No, he offering all this to all the Buddha land and the world system. Then Subhati said, such a person would have acquired much in the way of blessing and virtue. However, his blessing and virtue being tangible would not be the essential blessing and virtue which are markless. See, Subhati knew there is still a mark of a self giving, making that offering. Therefore, although the blessing and virtue of which the Buddha speaks would be vast, they would be superficial and without the real nature of blessing and virtue. So when the Buddha spoke of the blessing and virtue as many, he was referring to their marks and not to their nature. So you must understand, you cultivate with mark. No matter how much you do, you are still limited. The very good analogy is thought-based meditation. You can do for eons and eons and eons. You are still caught in thought. Understand? You cannot go beyond thought. That's why thought-based meditation will limit you. Then when you can go beyond thought-based, you go to awareness. That's why you know how to silence your mind, still your mind. Then you have the direct seeing, then you can awaken. But you still hold on to a mark. That so-called awareness is what you think is awareness. Just like those people doing thought-based on vipassana. They note here, note there. Note standing, standing. They think that is a tea. Then pain, pain, pain. Itchy, itchy, itchy. Thinking, thinking. You go and do this, you think that is a tea. You will be trapped again. Because the mark is always there. And all these are things that the thought create for you. That's like the mark of a cell, living being, the phenomenal world. Everything is like so real. Whatever perceivable by the mind is a phenomena. So the phenomenal world is so real to you. Because everything you see is so real, so tangible. Like what you see in this room. You open your eye. You will never deny that the living being is right. How can you say all this not real? You crazy. See the floor. I can hear your voice. I can see you. Color, shape, and form so beautiful. Everything is so tangible. You say not real. Money not real. Give to me. But the meaning of not real is not what he tried to explain to you. That is the mundane way of looking. That's why, 看山是山, because mundane people, they see everything as very real because they cannot penetrate their mind. If you were to meditate and realize that everything arises, like the Buddha said, because of mind, mind make a day, then you realize all the knowing comes from what? Consciousness, created by your senses. That's like seeing consciousness. The moment you open your eye, functional, then everything that is perceivable through your seeing, color, shape, and form, and this phenomenal, whatever that is within your field of vision, you say exists already, real, understand? But what are they? What are they? Mind make are they? Without mind, this one don't exist. That's why let's say this form and mind, the consciousness are separate. You open that body's eye. No more seeing. Or even before you separate the consciousness before you die. Now I ask you to close your eye. What happened to all the creation that you create just now? Perception. Gone. No more. Understand? So how real can they be? They are only as real as they can be. It's a phenomenal world. Condition arising. Mind make are they. It's just an image built, inverted, then created upright to your brain, and you perceive them. That's how you can perceive your hearing, hearing consciousness. That's how you see in the TV, ticket to indulge in certain program. They say light and sound. You can experience the beauty of the world through light and sound. Through light you can see sound, you can listen to music, to nature's vibration, wave, and all those things. And a lot on nature's harmony and vibrations. So all these are what they call nature's gift to the form and mind. And you know how to use it and live life, you will experience a lot of beautiful things. That's why you can experience all of the wonders and beauties of life. You really know how to develop your mind silent and feel them, experience them, not be deluded by them. If you don't have any delusion to cling to grasp and to hold, you can really experience them beautifully. And all these are possible. That's why through the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma, you can really live life beautifully, and you will not fear death. There is no such thing as death. No one dies. Technically, when you understand, no one born, no one sick, no one old. Whatever that arises is just condition arising, dependent originating. Even this form of mind is not what you are. So all this, when you meditate, you can understand. Because consciousness is not you, like the Buddha said. The five aggregate of form and mind, they are not you. Your physical body can never be you, because it's only element. They go the way of nature. So without knowing, how can the physical body be you? Then the knowing part, which is the consciousness and the mind, they arise and they pass away so fast. Your feeling arise and pass away, you never die. That's why it's not you. Perception arise and pass away, you never die. Consciousness arise and pass away, you never die. Then who are you? What are you? Your thought arise and pass away, you never die. So feeling, perception, thought, mental states and even consciousness, they arise and they pass away and you didn't die. It means they are not you. If they are not you, how come they arise within your own form and mind? And then who are you? What are you? That is meditation. That is what you need to meditate on, to clearly understand who are you, what are you. So I explained all this earlier on in the Green Book. So if you still don't understand, you go back and read one more time. It will help you, it will give you better understanding. This karmically conditioned form of mind, this segmented life that you come with, is not you, but it's an important vehicle and tool karmically conditioned out for you to use, to live life, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life, to cultivate and to develop whatever you want to develop. But most living beings cannot understand. Through delusion they come, they pay back their karma. They are born into this world, they experience old age, sickness and death. They experience karma. They experience a lot of suffering in between, depending on how they live their life, what type of karma they have. That's why this teaching is very beautiful. When you understand, you will know how to live. Then you will develop the understanding to live life beautifully. Means life become wonderful, meaningful. But if you don't understand, you become deluded. You become heedless. Then you entangle yourself. You create your own hell, your own misery, your own negative karma. Then you cannot blame anyone for your own situation and problem. Like last night, my teacher's poem. You actually plant your own seed to be born in hell. Nobody sent you there. You are through karma, through delusion, you committed all this. Then nature's law, when it ripens, friction, it will manifest. So you reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. This is the nature's law. And the Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. So all this, you need to reflect and contemplate daily, so that you wake up. If karma plays such a great role in your life, what must you do? You must be serious about karma. You must take care of karma. Then karma will take care of your life. Otherwise, you will become miserable. If you violate this law, you will get into deep trouble. Okay, we go on. Then he said, Subhati, such a person would acquire much in the way of blessings and virtue. Oh, this one we have finished. Next one. The section of text which begin, if on the other hand, a person were to receive and hold from this sutta, was spoken by Sakyamuni Buddha. Receive means the mind receive it. Hold means the body puts the teaching into practice. Oh, this is their meaning. Maybe the Mandarin word is correct. A person need not receive and hold the entire Vajra Sutta, but may learn to recite no more than four lines or stanza, such as those which occur later in the text. This one is spoken by Sakyamuni. If one sees me in form, if one seeks me in sound, he practices a deviant way. This one you understand, because these are not the Buddha. What is the Buddha? Who is the Buddha? Is that the physical body? Is his sound, his vibration define who he is? No. Then who is the Buddha? Who is the Buddha? Not only the Dhamma. He teaches the Dhamma, he proclaims the Dhamma, but he is the embodiment of what? All of his virtue, wisdom and perfection that he has done. So the Buddha is the Buddha because of his cultivation, his perfection of virtue and wisdom. And that one, nobody can take away, understand not? It's stored in the nature's law. So if it's stored in the nature's law and nobody can take away, means what? When the Taliban bomb the statue, don't go and make noise. Don't go and become miserable. Oh, disrespect my teacher, Lord Buddha. How can they do that? But that is not the Buddha. Like the Buddha say, the Buddha Rupang is a... Rupang is what? Form. Understand? This statue is the form. But this one is not the Buddha. It allows you to recall to mind the great wisdom and virtue of Lord Buddha. And then you develop the faith, understand? The sadha leading to the virya, the spiritual faculty. That is the purpose. That's why these are the four objects of veneration. But he never say attached to them. And he never say he who sees my physical body or the Buddha Rupang sees me. No. He said he who sees his teaching sees me. Means the Dhamma. So he is the embodiment of wisdom and perfection. The virtues, everything. That's why from there he perfected all this through understanding all the nature's law that governs life and existence. That's why the triple gem, you had the Buddha, then you had the Dhamma. Because the Buddha, he is the Tathagata, has perfected the understanding. That's why he has the Dhamma. That's why when you realize the Dhamma, you see him yourself. When he say he who sees the Dhamma means you not see through the eye, through the direct seeing and penetrate the three universal characteristics. That's why he who realize the Dhamma see him, because he is the embodiment of truth. He is a Tathagata, suchness, expert in suchness. So all this will become clear. Then he said, and cannot see the Tathagata because they practice the deviant way. So if you want to see the Buddha or the Tathagata, you have to silence your mind and realize your true nature. That's why you have to penetrate the universal characteristic, insight into phenomena, realize the Dhamma. The Gata say that if a person recognizes the Buddha through tangible mark or seek for the Buddha in the sound of his voice, that person practiced deviant samadhi or deviant teaching, the demonic externalist method, Wai Tawa, rather than true actual Buddha Dhamma. Why? True Buddha Dhamma is devoid of form and appearances. It is true emptiness and wonderful existence. Effort is not to be spent on false mark. Another four line stanza. All with mark is false and empty. If you see all marks as no mark, then you see the Tathagata. So these are the sayings. Then another one. There is no mark of self, no mark of others, no mark of living beings, no mark of life. Then another one. All conditioned phenomena are like dreams, illusion, bubbles and shadow. This one you all went through before, isn't it? Ru mong huan pao ying. Each year you wei fa. Each year you wei fa. All conditioned phenomena are like dreams, illusion, bubbles and shadow. Ru mong. Mong is dream. Huan is illusion. Pao ying is bubble and shadow. Zulu iru tian, like dew drops and the lightning flash. You know what is dew drop or not? Sunrise, gone. Lightning flash, split second is gone. That's why it's very transitional or transitory, very like impermanent. Very fast it's gone. Like I said, how real can life be? You remember the three period of time? Past already gone, no more reality. Future yet to come, also no more reality. So the present moment is the only truth, the only reality in life. So how real can be the present moment? The moment you speak about it, split second is gone. Split second is gone. And that is the only reality, you know. So how real can life be? That's why every moment life passes by, what are you doing? And if life is just within the moment, how real can it be? Split second is there and gone. As real it can be when it arrives at that moment, which is just a split second, that's it. And that's why there is no reality. You cannot deny you were born since birth until now. Now I ask you one question. What you have experienced throughout your life since birth until now, is it real? Is it real? You cannot deny you went through all those moments. You live those moments, even until this moment. But are they real? You can only recall through memory. That's why that song I like, 往事只能回味. So when you see life so clearly with that reality, with your silent mind, then you are not fooled and deluded by it anymore. How real can it be? Moment to moment life passes by. What are you doing? Most living beings are deludedly thinking, planning and worrying about life. So much so, they never leave because they don't understand what their form of mind is. They don't know who they are, what they are. They thought the thought is real. They thought that is what they are. That's why they argue, me, I. Then they get into conflict. Then they have so much fear, worry, anxiety. They hold on to so much thing. They cling on to so much thing. They worry about their life. They worry about getting old, getting sick and die. They worry about their wealth, their children, their career, their relationship. So much things, their possession, their relationship. So they keep on holding and clinging and worrying. So much so, they never leave. That's why human beings are very miserable. They got so much problem. Like very stressful, every day so much thing to do, like unending, cannot finish. You ask the housewife, I say, where I can finish on? Every day repeat on routine, wash floor, clean toilet, then look after the family, wash clothes, dry, iron, send children to school, then plan this, plan that, worry about the budget here, budget there, then financial problem, a lot of problem. So human life is not easy when you don't understand. But when you understand, it becomes so simple, so beautiful, so meaningful. And there's so much joy going through life when you understand, when you are not deluded. That's why the Heart Sutta says true emptiness is wonderful existence, really. When you penetrate true emptiness, life becomes meaningful, wonderful. Existence becomes wonderful, beautiful. So these are the important teaching. Okay, we go on. Oh, so fast. 10:15 already. We got another 14 minutes. So this one, the four lines are very important. Those who know Mandarin, they will like it. Actually, the Mandarin got a better way of highlighting the meaning. Each year you wave far, all conditioned dhamma, or conditioned phenomena, are like dreams, illusion, bubble and shadow, zumong, iru. Rumong huan pao ying. Then, like dew drops and a lightning flash. Zulu ilu tian. Then contemplate them thus. Ying what? Ying zuo lu si guan. You have to contemplate it that way. Then when you penetrate this, you will wake up. You know the meaning of this four stanza or not? They are so powerful. All conditioned Dhamma, he said, are like dreams, illusion, bubble and shadow. If you cannot see this, you cannot penetrate the Dhamma. It's not theory, you know. It's really understanding, you know. What are conditioned Dhamma? Conditioned phenomena. Dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. That's why the Buddha told the disciple, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions the Buddha explained. That's why the five pancha niyamas, the nature's law that governs life and existence, they follow this law. That's why they are called dependent originating or condition arising dhamma or phenomena. So when you see this clearly, you realize they are all impermanent. True or not? You can see the impermanent or not. They're dependent on condition, they arise. So when condition change, what happens? They will also change, correct or not? They will undergo the same thing. And when condition sustain itself, like I continue to speak, you continue to hear my voice. That's why this consciousness, like real, exists. But the moment I stop, what happens? When condition cease to be, that voice, that vibration cease to be. No more. You never say voice die. Voice born, voice die. But human being, you say birth, death. That's why no one die. No one born. It's just like this condition phenomenon, my voice. How does it arise? When there is condition for it to arise, when I can speak into it, the vibration through the microphone, you have your ear functioning upon contact, hearing consciousness can arise, then to you exists, true or not, because you can hear me. The best analogy is what? The one that I used to tell you all. Actually, this one is shared to me by my second last teacher also. She used to tell me that, you listen, the passing car. Then later on, I contemplated, reflected, then I developed it further as real and unreal. Because when the passing car, let's say, pass by within hearing range, you can hear it, isn't it? Then you say, exist. Then after he has gone to a certain distance, you cannot hear, what happened? You say it don't exist, no more. But to another guy who is further down there, exists now. So real and unreal to you is what? Whatever that is perceivable by your limited senses, you call real. True or not? Where there is condition for you to hear. When there is no more condition, you say cease to be. Not real, no more. But further up, they hear. So what is real and what is unreal? According to your mind's perception. That's why whatever perceivable by the mind is a phenomenon real to you. But you cannot perceive it. It's not real to you. Ru mong is what? Mong is like dreamlike. It's actually consciousness. When you make dream through your consciousness. Correct or not? And it's an illusion. Why? Like magician create illusion. Like this consciousness, the Buddha said, is the analogy is like a magician. You know what is a magician? Magician create illusion for you to see. Correct? That's why they are also called illusionists. You are the greatest magician in the world, you didn't know. You open your eye, you create everything within your field of vision. Arise already. This is real magic. You close your eye, gone. But you never knew that you were the greatest magician. That's why they are all illusions. Zu mong huan pao ying. Ying is like shadow. Pao is like bubble. Moment to moment is gone. Moment to moment is burst. The reality within the moment is like bubble. Pew, 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 gone. As real it can be. Split second is there and gone. And that is the only reality in life though. So how real can life be? But because of your thought, your memory, you actually hold on to them, create continuity. Understand? That's why thought create what? past, present, and future. Ah, then you form one continuity, a continuum of concept and idea. I was born that time by this name. I was a boy born in a Chinese family. Then you got all that creation already, the thought, tell story already. When I was young, how I go to what school, my parents, how. So much story to tell, correct or not? It's all from the thought, memory. The reality is, everything that happened is of the past, dead and gone. No more reality. The moment is the only reality. You still recalling, telling grandmother's story, everything. Means you never leave. You are never with the moment. That's why now slowly, slowly all this become clearer and clearer to you. Then you can renounce all those concepts, ideas. Then you can see clearly why the Buddha say they are like dreams, illusion, bubbles and shadow. How real is shadow? Run here, run there. Every time the sun shines, you see your shadow in front of you. So shadow is images. Then it follows the direction where the sunlight shines. Then wherever the sunlight cannot penetrate, it becomes a shadow. So your mind is the same. They say in Mandarin, in Hokkien, gi sim gi kuya. You know what is that? In English, how you say? Gi sim gi kuya. You always think that they suspicious. You always think that got devil, got ghost. then you panic, you worry. Okay, we go on. In general, one may memorize any four lines or stanza with sutsim and explain them to others. One should not interpret the passage of the sutra text in this section as referring only to the verse in this particular sutta, because the Dhamma is not fixed. It is not inflexible. That's why you remember last time what I told you. Now, whatever that is rigid, there is no Buddha Dhamma. The real Buddha Dhamma is non-rigid. It's not knowledge. It's not fixed. It's applicable to all conditions. That's why it is fluid, dynamic, applicable every moment, every instant, because it is the reality. It can explain the way things are. So this is what Dhamma is all about, not a knowledge. If one insists on a given four line, the Dhamma becomes static. The Vajra Sutta subsides. The mind enriches it of rigid attachment. So this is something that you have to be careful, enabling it to separate from all marks. The Vajra Sutta subduces the mind and rids it of rigid attachment, enabling it to separate from all marks. So this is very important. You must not be rigid. It sweeps away all phenomena and separate from all marks. Separation from all marks is Buddhahood. Sweep away phenomena is renouncing them, anasana. No more attachment to them. When you renounce the world means what? You don't own them anymore. That's what renunciation is all about. When I renounce, means I give up everything because I know that they are conditioned arising entity, cannot be owned, cannot be possessed. That's why you have to renounce all things, all phenomena. And Acham Buddha Dasa also say, Sabe, don't know what, Asava, Abhinivasa. He said, all Dhamma must not be clung onto. All phenomena must not be clung onto. The moment you hold, you suffer. We are upadana khandas. The grasping aggregate lead to suffering. You hold on to what you feel, you suffer. You hold on to what you perceive, you suffer. You hold on to your views and opinion born of your thought process and your conditioning, you suffer. you hold on to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. Means your seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile and thought consciousness, you suffer. That is what upatana khandas is all about. And the whole phenomenal world come from mind. That's why mind make adi. That's why when you grasp to the five fear of my mind, you grasp to the conditioned world, the phenomenal world, suffering will arise. So all these are very clear. Keep the Dhamma alive, like it, let it be like a vital dragon, like a coursing tiger. Speak the sutta until it laps and bow. Talk until it's sore. Do not be so stuffy that you put everyone to sleep. Oh, very good description. And then be stupid as to think your lecturing has caused them to enter samadhi. Oh, that is the best. I was on lying down meditation, snoring. Oh, enter samadhi already. Receiving and holding the sutta is self-benefiting cultivation, which leads to self-enlightenment. Explaining it to others benefits and enlighten them. So this one is trying to tell you, you seek self-enlightenment, the mark of a self is still there. You can receive and hold a four lines gatha or stanza yourself and speak it for others. The blessing and virtue of that act are far greater than the blessing and virtue derived by the person who gives the 3,000 great thousand world system full of the seven treasures as a gift. Why? Because the giving of Dhamma is the most supreme kind of giving, and as such, far surpass the giving of materialistic wealth. You remember the Buddha said the gift of truth excel all gift, because that is the highest giving. First is materialistic giving, then the gift of life, the second one, which is higher than materialistic. You know what is gift of life or not? Donate organ, donate your organ to save life, donate blood to save life. So on this gift of life, then sometimes you through Dhamma save people from committing suicide, and that is also gift of life. So talk him out, then let him come out of depression, suffering, misery. So this is gift of life, gift of a new life, so spiritual life. You can receive, this one we finish. Okay, the 10 direction are east, south, west, north, and the intermediate point above and below. The three periods of time are the past, present, and the future. All the Buddhas of the 10 direction and three periods of time and the Dhamma of unsurpassed, proper, and equal right enlightenment to which they have certified flow from markless real mark pranya. So this one is just to explain to you. So if you are attached to the Buddha, then you are attached to the mark of people. If you are attached to the Dhamma, then you are attached to the mark of Dhamma. If you are attached to emptiness, you are attached to the mark of emptiness. That is not what is called sweeping away all phenomena and leaving no mark. If you leave all marks, that is Dhamma. If you cannot leave all marks, you have attachment and your original existential face, your native intelligence, the treasure of your household, your self-nature's prajna cannot appear. If it cannot appear, is it lost? No, it is not lost. It is simply that you cannot use it. For example, if in a dream you forgot you are wealthy, your riches are useless. If you awake from the dream, then even the great thousand world is empty. To what can you attach to? So this is just Shenhua's way of explanation. Okay, we stop here maybe. Because 10:30 already. You got any question? so far. Anybody got any question or anything you want to add or share? Do that. Then we will do the sharing of merits and transfer of merits. Then we can end, huh? Okay, sharing of merits with the devas. Akasatta cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Ittavata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired. May all devas rejoice and may contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Idam me nyatinam hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idam me nyatinam hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idam me nyatinam hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, you straight away make your aspiration today. Ipmina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of this marriage that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish and the heedless, but only the wise and the enlightened one until nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Okay, just to remind you, this Saturday is SJBA Building Fund, the charity dinner, Super Tanga. So those who have the ticket, you remind yourself to attend. I think Sri Anna also sent out the notice. Then next Tuesday, we got one more class. After that, no more class because we stopped 3 weeks. We are going, a group of us, we are going to Perth and then Melbourne. We leave on the 17th night because our flight is 18th morning. So that day is Tuesday, 17th night, we cancel the class. Then the next Tuesday also we cancel because I only come back on the 30th of May. Okay, just make a note.